Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Gidharadhari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Gidharadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamona Tera Vanachare. Jamona Tera Vanachare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Radhe, Jai Radha, Jai Radha, Jai Shri Radha. Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram. Jai Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jaya Stotra Satat Sissimad Divine Grace is confounded Jaya Shil Abhachan Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jaya Stotra Satat Sissimad Divine Grace Shila E Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki Anantha Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Amacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. All glories to the Samu devotees. All glories to the Samu devotees. All glories to the Samu devotees. All glories to the seven devotees. All glories to Sigurvansi Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we'd like to welcome all of you once again. It's already been done, but there's no limit to our appreciation of the fact that it's precious weekend time to come to have darshan of the Lordship, C.C. Radha Shyama Sundar, C.C. Krishna Balaram, and Sisi Gauranitai. And of course, our founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, we are going to take our discussion from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 9, text 17. Bhagavad Gita 9, 17. And there's a reason for choosing this verse. The title of this chapter is The Most Confidential Knowledge. So after reading the purport, I will tell you the reason before we go on with the discussion. But there's a reason for choosing this verse. Some of you also already know the reason. All right. Pitaham asya jagato. Mata Dapta Pita Maha Vidyam Pavitram Omkara Rik Samayaju Evacha. So it's not on the board, so I'll just go through the. Is it there? Okay, there. All right. Pitaham asya jagato. Mata datta pitamaha. Vedyam pavitam omkara. Riksamaya juevacha. Can someone try? Ladies? So what for what? Translation? Pita, Father. Aham, I. Asya, of this. Jagataha, universe. Mata, mother. Datta, supporter. Pita, Maha, grandfather. Vedyam, what is to be known? Pavitram, that which purifies. Omkara, the syllable Om. Rig, the Rig Veda. Sama, the Sama Veda. Yaju, the Yaju Veda. Eva, softened. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is confirmed to Acharya, Srila Abhacharana Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and in grandeur. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajurvedas. Please responsibly repeat, I am the father of this universe.
I am the father of this universe.
The mother.
The mother.
The support.
The support.
And the grandeur.
And the grandeur.
I am the object of knowledge.
I am the object of knowledge.
The purifier.
And the syllable Om.
I am also the Rig,
the
Sama,
and the
Yajurvedas. Purport, the entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by the different activities of Krishna's energy. In a material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are not in bed, Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Datta means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother, and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step toward understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such, is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yaju, Rig, and Atava, the Pranava or Omkara is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Saksun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhisa Saptitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakal Patarubhyacha Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasat Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Pachatya Disatarine. So, today is a very significant day in the life of people in general. For the devotees, every day we wake up and come to Mangalarati is our Janmashtami celebration. It's our festival. Mangalarati, auspicious invocation. And for those of you who are lucky enough, due to exceptional mercy of Prabhupada and accumulated, what Brahma would call Krita Punya Punja, accumulated heaps and heaps of pious reservoir of pious merits, you come to stay in this community. And you have a chance to be able to celebrate festival. Auspicious festival every morning if you come to the Mangalarati. And the whole of this process, Prabhupada structured the system in such a way that we gradually move towards Krishna. But for what? Just like he mentioned in the purport here, if you have to check the number of times Prabhupada mention Krishna's name in a short purport like this, it's amazing. He mentioned Krishna several times in a very small purport of one paragraph. So it means that Krishna is very important in his life, and it's also important in the lives of each and every one of us. Because according to Prabhupada's purport, we are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Krishna reiterated that in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Evamso, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. We are all his internal fragmental parts and parcels. In other words, we are infinitesimal expansions of Lord Krishna. We are Krishna's children, we are his kids, we are his sons and daughters. Huh? And if people come to understand this simple principle, they can live in unity, in peace and harmony with proper cohesion. I remember vividly in South Africa when there was this political turmoil of, you know, repression in the apartheid regime. There was this temple in Durban, very magnificent Vedic setting. And honestly speaking, outside, I think one devotee told me how, when he was in college, the type of intense discrimination that was going on in South Africa, he was amazed. And then he told me, but now, as you know, the apartheid regime is over, and in his place of work, he's been working with someone who had discriminated against him very, very seriously when they were in college. And why was that discrimination there? Because the people do not know or did not know that every living entity is part and parcel of God, part and parcel of Krishna. Why is it that we have children in the home, and if even the little kids, you know, if the parents are not there, if they're given a little bit of chance, they may be playing. If even they're twins, for a short while they start fighting. And just after that, they start hugging each other again, laughing and smiling and eating together. But when we grow up, we tend to forget that, you know, there is still that need for unity in diversity. So we find so much of trouble in human society because of the identity crisis. People have failed to understand that every embodied soul is actually a fragmental aspect of Krishna. And essentially, if people understand what Prabhupada to the United Nations as regards peace formula, that Krishna is the only enjoyer, Bhuktaram Jagdatapasham, Sarva Loka Maheshwar. If people come to understand that simple technology or that application of spiritual technology in their lives, the world will be a peaceful place to live in. And in fact, conflicts will become something like historical remains. But we find that the world is lacking in this spiritual understanding, this spiritual knowledge. The world is replete with spiritual bankruptcy. Therefore, people are not able to understand that they are not even these physical bodies, they are part and parcel of Krishna, and they're supposed to please Krishna, they're supposed to serve Krishna if they want to be happy. Therefore, it is important for Srila Prabhupada to reiterate that word Krishna in his purport. There's no doubt. Because if people come to understand how Krishna is the Lord of the universe, Jagannath, then there could be peace and harmony in society. Inasmuch as human beings are yet to realize or come to the conclusion that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything in this universe and we are simply caretakers, we are not the proprietors, and that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, and there's the need for us to serve Him. And Prabhupada has given us that legacy, how to become happy, how to serve Krishna. If the hand, which is part and parcel of the body, is severed from the body, the hand may be so beautiful, so long, and, you know, wagging and dangling, but immediately the hand is severed from the body, the beauty of the hand is gone. It becomes useless. In a similar way, if the living entity who is part and parcel of Krishna embarks on Krishna Bahimukha, he turns away from Krishna, Ahana Boga Vanchakare, he wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, He is gunning for trouble. He's gunning for miseries. Because miseries and happiness, you can really look for either of them. How to look for miseries? Krishna Bahi Mukha, Ahana Boga, Vanchakari. Just turn your back to Krishna and try to enjoy separately from Krishna. That's how to look for miseries. Right? It's a simple process. You want miseries? This is how to get it. But if we want to be happy, then we simply have to perform devotional service. Glorify Lord Krishna. If you glorify someone who is always happy, who is full of bliss, whose form is embodiment, is characterized by bliss, knowledge, and eternity, then basically you will be aligned with that type of culture. Even in the management sciences, applied management and decision sciences and social sciences, they have all of these theories which say the same thing, that you know the environment we live in affects us. And the person that we relate with, the person that we intimately deal with, we imbibe, we exchange, perceptions of reality. If the person is having some negative mindset, eventually you will also be imbibing that type of culture. If you associate very closely, very intimately with such a person. Therefore, the Shastra stresses the concept of sadhu sangha. And the sangha or association, how it enhances our future proclivities, is all there in all scriptures of the world, even in the academy, it's all there. Why do you think that all of these professors, they have meetings, conferences here and there? To reinforce each other about their mundane inclinations. To reinforce themselves. Yeah, we own the world. We are the learned people. And so the devotees also come together to reinforce themselves in devotional culture. That yes, we are servants of Lord Krishna. And our duty is to serve Lord Krishna. And we would come purified. Because Krishna is Pavitra, is the supreme pure. Therefore, it is very pertinent for us to understand what we are doing all the time. Otherwise, it will result to a mechanical approach, all in the name of devotional culture, all in the name of devotional service. If we don't have a comprehension and imbibe that comprehensiveness of what we are doing all the time, it will result. We may do the same things, but it will be mechanical. And therefore, we will not get the desired result. So Krishna says he is the father of this universe. Who can dispute it? The scientists say there is no God, but here someone is saying, I am the father. I am the father of this universe. Who can dispute it? Can someone come to tell us here that I am the president of the United States if it's not Barack Obama? They will call the police. Someone will call the police for him. Isn't it? But Krishna, no one can arrest him. When he was on the planet, he did so many funny things, but no one dared to arrest him. He called 9/11, nobody comes. So we have to understand, who is the person that we are worshipping? How do we attribute that he is God? Not just a Prabhupada saying that in his purport, but all of the sages in the past and the present, they have come to the conclusion. In fact, there was some experiment performed right in the beginning of the cosmic creation whereby, you know, these sages, they deputed Bhrigu to go and conduct research. And Bhrigu came back with a report about his research. That Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Now, people talk about, scholars have anymore, they brag about their research and all this. His research has been there since time immemorial. Right from the beginning of the cosmic creation, there was some confusion. They were trying to figure out who is the supreme amongst these three deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. And Bhrigu Muni went to investigate. He did some investigative studies, and he came up with a conclusion. That Krishna is two Bhagavans for you. Lord Vishnu is the supreme. Lord Krishna is the supreme. Therefore, we have to understand the position of Lord Krishna. He is the supreme. But today, I chose this verse specifically because in the history of the world, today happens to be what? Huh?
Father's Day.
Father's Day. So, a father is supposed to be like a miniature Krishna, small Krishna, taking care of people, protecting people from abuses, trying to give shelter to his family, his wife and children. But, you see, the responsibility of father or of fatherhood basically is beyond the social strata of modern societies. Why? Because nowadays, the principle of fatherhood in its spiritual undertone has been completely discarded, been thrown overboard. It's been thrown into the ocean. It's been put in the trash bin. People don't care to know the responsibility of a father. Therefore, we find so many people on the planet. They will make some advertorial that they're having a wedding. But it is a marriage, in most cases, devoid of actual spiritual principles of fatherhood. The actual spiritual principles of fatherhood have been demonstrated in the back of a time. A typical case of tell us who is the example of actual personification of fatherhood in the back of a time? Yes, scholars, tell us.
Rishabhadev.
Okay. Do you agree with him? Agree. Who says no or yes to her opinion? Anyone to support that? She said Rishabhadev, actual exemplary status of a father. Maharaj Prithu. I support what she said, but she's not exactly on the note of what I'm looking for. Prithu is another good example. He was not just a father, he was also a leader. Prithu was a typical example of undifferentiated leadership. The two major aspects of leadership, differentiated and undifferentiated leadership. Prithu was a typical example. Yes, you were saying something?
Manu.
Good. Yes. Ladies, help us. The guys, the men have given us two. Yes. Yes.
Jagannath Mishra.
Jagannath Mishra. Very good. Yeah. So all of these personalities are very correct. I wanted to add that Kadama Muni is an intriguing case. Why? Because Kadama Muni, he has achieved what a father is supposed to achieve. He gave birth to an incarnation of God. Imagine someone is the father of an incarnation of God. You know, Krishna is the Supreme Lord Himself. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord Himself. So, I mean, all those are correct, okay? Jagannath Mishra. But this is a case, it's not the Supreme Personality. You will say, well, it's all the same thing. Yes, but that's the reason why. I say, the case of Kadama Muni is intriguing, stimulating. Because he gave birth to the Supreme Person of... Jagannath Mishra did not leave his son and say he was going to the forest to be a Vanaprastha to take sannyas. Did he? No. Even Vasudev or his foster father, foster father of Krishna, Ananda Maharaj, he didn't leave them at some point in time that, oh, let me go and take Vanaprastha or take sannyas. No. Therefore, Kadamba Muni is a typical case for us to learn something from. We may feel comfortable in our lives that, well, at least I've been chanting 64 rounds and I'm sure to go back home, back to God. I've been following these principles over the years. Yes, it's true. But we may not be as fortunate as Kadamba Muni, who gave birth to Kapila Dev. And Kapila Dev was so exalted. He's so just an excellent personality that he could just be there to worship him. But he said, no way. This has been my preliminary decision. I must leave home. Oh yeah. It shows us how we should not be complacent with our comfortable household lives. We have to plan ahead. Because in most cases, the male child, for instance, of course, even the female children who are in Krishna consciousness, if you are in Krishna consciousness, finish. Your goal of attaining pure love of Godhead is guaranteed if you simply follow what Srila Prabhupada has given to us. So the point here is that here is someone who gave birth to the Supreme Lord. He could just be in the home to worship him until he gives up his body and attain liberation. When he left the home, what does this mean to us? It implies that we should not be comfortable. You see, some of us are living in opulence. Comfortable homes, you know, very beautiful, handsome children. I mean, the father takes a lot of pleasure in especially hearing when the child starts to speak. You know, those monosyllables, they are very scintillating to the father's ears. the child does not say the things correctly, but, you know, the father sees the child. Oh, I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. Here is my replica. I created this. And he got someone, you know, to order around like Nanda Maharaj, say, go and bring my shoes and I'll go. It's pleasure. Because if you ask your wife some of the things you ask your child, the wife will tell you, go and do it yourself. I remember I was in one temple in the East, Eastern United States, and so this devotee was the vice president or temple commander, wherever. So then he told me that, Maharaj, shall I tell my wife to make a juice for you? I said, I don't, he mentioned a specific juice. I can't remember the exact one. I said, I don't need juice today. I said, I don't need juice today. So he said, no, but I mean, we could just make it and you keep it in the fridge. And so I told him, if you need juice, just ask your wife to do it for you. He told me, she won't do it. Yeah. So, but you know, your child, especially little kids who are very much inclined towards their father, because, you know, you give them, you know, each time you go out, we come in, you give them something, and all this, is they become very much inclined towards you. So, you know, anything you tell them, they're ready to do, you know. But that comfort is always there in all forms of lives. There's a pleasure. If someone tells you there's no pleasure in family life, tell the person that he's telling lies. There's a pleasure. But if we get stuck there for the rest of our life, it could be very detrimental. Because for one thing, we deny others. We deny people. We lack preachers. How many? What's the population of this planet? How many billion people? Yes. Okay. Over 6 billion people. And in ISKCON, we have only 87 or 89 or something like that, sannyasis. So, I mean, if it is a material affair, if it's a material profession, then you know that, you know, the organization is understaffed. Society is understaffed. It's like you have 8 billion people on the planet and you have only 87 medical doctors. Oh, there'll be trouble all over the place. So, we have to be merciful. We should be ready to take the burden of the suffering masses of people and act like Kadama Muni at some point in time. It's not essential, it is not necessary that you deny yourself of the pleasures of the world. But in fact, when you take to the order of preaching all over the world, your opulences become like quadrupled. Prabhupada mentioned he had just some few kids, few children in India, 3 or 4, whatever. But when he took up the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill the orders of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he came to America, established these stations, he went to Europe, to England, established these stations. He had children all over the world. So the benefits we get from one child, 2 kids at home, when we take to full-time preaching, we have thousands of children who will serve us, who will be so eager. They come forward begging for silver. So which is better? To depend on one child who will tell you one day, "What do you mean, Daddy?" And it's true. I was in California, Los Angeles, 2006. One guy invited me to come over. He had 2 kids, 2 daughters. One of them was in high school at that time. So the girl came on holidays. She went out with a BMW. She crashed into an accident, just came back home in the evening and dumped the car. She didn't tell the dad. Father was tolerating. What can we do? And then she kept sleeping in the home until late in the morning. So he just, out of sympathy, she has to read and prepare for her next semester. She knocked on her door one morning, and then, you know, she opened the door very slightly and said, and asked, "Dad, what is it?" So the, you know, the humble parent, father, told her, "Look, you sleep late, you wake up late every day. This is not good for your studies. You need to also get up and help in doing some things in the home. You're becoming a mature girl now, so you need to be trained in every aspect." I bet you know what the girl told the dad? She said, and that was 17 years old girl, she told the dad, "Hey dad, if you try this next time, if you knock on my door next time, I'll call the police." In other words, don't disturb me. So when the child is growing up, they know their rights. And especially when the child is 18 years, you can't tell the child anything. Therefore, it is important for us to understand, yes, there's pleasure in rearing children. There's a pleasure in family life. But we should also think about the suffering that the masses of people are passing through out there. And some of us should take up the banner of trying to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada to help the world. If there is anything lacking in the world, it's Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it is important. I have been very much impressed the way, especially you, the devotees in Alachua here, organizing your Ratha Yatras and even your Harinams on Fridays. This is, in fact, Harinam is the highest form of preaching. That is what Lord Chaitanya came himself to inaugurate on this planet. The Krishna Consciousness Movement was founded on congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, distributing the holy names of the Lord outside. And we see that Prabhupada simply aligned himself with Lord Chaitanya's mission statement, his goals and his vision, and he was successful. If we align ourselves with Prabhupada's mission statement, his goals and vision, we will excel beyond our own estimation. But if we create our own ideas, sophisticated ideas, on how to spread Krishna consciousness without imbibing a culture of compassion, without being positioned in situations where we will take up the burden of other suffering people in the universe, then we become creepers, we become misers. It is not required. There are so many misers already out there. We shouldn't be. This is a very big community, over 500 people. And each year, we should be producing some vanaprastha here. Why not? So who will go out and follow the footsteps of Prabhupada, sacrificing everything, leaving everything behind, and it goes into the war front and become a commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's armed forces? We need that. We need that. Anything we are doing, we should ask ourselves, is Prabhupada pleased with me about what I am doing at this point in time? Is Srila Prabhupada pleased with me? If we think Prabhupada is gone, and we can, you know, now figure out what is best for us to do and what is not good for us to do, we will be missing the point. Prabhupada is right here. Prabhupada is here. If we have the vision, if we have the transcendental vision, we will be able to communicate with Prabhupada right here. I tell you a story. When Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj went to Africa, Prabhupada was not on the planet. You know how he got instructions from Prabhupada? Prabhupada appeared to him in a dream, asked him to go to Africa. Not even directly. Prabhupada was opening the door. He was in the room. Prabhupada opened the door, and he saw all of these black folks, so many of them in thousands, outside. So he could understand Prabhupada wanted him to go to Africa to reclaim the souls who are there languishing, devoid of Krishna consciousness. Even as Prabhupada has so-called gone, left the physical realm, so many people who are not even his disciples, people who have never been to Hare Krishna temple, they have dreamt and seen Prabhupada. Prabhupada instructed them to come to the temple. I have typical cases in Africa. One hunter, he went into the bush for hunting, and as he was about to shoot, is it a bird or so, he heard a voice, "Stop it." In the daytime, not a dream. He had a voice, "Stop it." So he was amazed. He stopped. And later, Prabhupada appeared to him in a dream. And he told him, "I am the one who asked you to stop that. You go to such a place, to Lagos, and trace these Hare Krishna devotees." The guy was staying in some interior aspect of the western part of Nigeria. A hunter. Means he's not in the city. But he was given instruction. And the first time when he came to the temple, like he walked into the temple, he saw the Muti Prabhupada. He said, "This is the person who told me to come." Yeah. So if he's appearing to someone who didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness or ISKCON, you think that he's not there? Today is Father's Day. We should know the responsibilities of a father. In the Bhagavatam, Rishabhadev mentioned that if you cannot deliver your dependents, your dependence means, for your father, your dependence means what? Your wife and children. If you cannot deliver your dependence from the onslaught of samsara, do not accept the position of a father. This is a message for those who want to become fathers. In most cases, people don't want to become fathers. Because we know that our scriptures is basically our tradition is against, you know, illicit relationship with the opposite sex. And so someone is agitated of sex life, and then he says, I want to marry. But the point is, are you ready to deliver your dependence from birth and death? Sometimes we don't think about that, but this is what is there in the scripture. That for you, the eligibility of being a married man, for you to become a good candidate, if you want to become the president of the United States, there are credentials you have to have, not just, you know, your propositions or whatever, your academic profile. That's not all. You have to meet with certain, you know, criteria. So the major criterion of being a married man is that you are going to be in a position to save your wife and your future children, to deliver them, to take them back home, back to God. I remember in Michigan, there was this one of my god sisters, she was trying to get married. She's doing her PhD. And then, you know, apparently she told the mom that I know about the guy whom she's trying to get married to. So the mother came to meet me, and then she spoke to me, hey, Maharaj, you know about this guy? I said, yes. And so, you know, sometimes also we think that the women are stupid. No woman is stupid. No woman. The women are even, they are sharper, they are smarter than the men. They just, they take a humble position. They are smarter than the men. So she asked me, Maharaj, so this guy who is going to marry my kid, you know her, you know him? I said, yes, he's a very, I made good, you know, good recommendation. I said, oh, he's a very nice guy, he's a very rich guy, he's been a devotee for several years. So she told me that, Maharaj, it's not a question of being rich. Because also, she's my god sister, so we talk one-to-one, okay? Like, you know, young people, like two little kids. So she told me, Mara, it's not about being rich. You know the question she asked me? She asked, is this guy going to be responsible to take my kid, my daughter, back home, back to Godhead? I did not have an answer to it. I think that closed the chapter. So the point is, there is a responsibility in being a father. It's not just providing plenty of money or, you know, building a skyscraper for the family, but the essential spiritual ingredient, the essential spiritual prerequisite is that, according to Rishabhadev, it's not me saying it, according to the Bhagavatam, is that one should be able to take the family back home, back to God. So if we have attained that position, then we can deliver so many souls. It is important for us to understand that this is the standard. In fact, Prabhupada had mentioned in his purport that Kadama Muni's standard should be what ISKCON should actually prosecute, should be what we should follow. So yes, to be a father is a good deed. You are, you know, you have so many people under your supervision, and you can come and give orders here and there, but it has a lot of implications. And therefore, when we are struggling to go into the household life, we should think also, not only the social responsibilities, we should also think about the spiritual responsibilities. And even for the social responsibilities, we have to be able to groom our children, especially the males, properly. See, if I have a girl in this movement, if I have a daughter in this movement, I will not give the girl away to marriage to someone who has no skills. I'm sorry, but that is my opinion. I like the standard that Ratna Maharaj has set in his temple, in Chopati and in Pune. All of the brahmacharis there, all of them are professionals. Why? Suppose tomorrow one of them says, I can't be a brahmachari anymore, I want to have a wife. He has some skills to be able to fend for himself and for his family. I think that is the good deal that most of the ISKCON communities or temples should actually emulate. So to be a father is not a joke. Of course, to be a mother is also not a joke. But today is not a Mother's Day. Therefore, we are emphasizing... Therefore, we are emphasizing Father's Day, which is just complementary to Mother's Day. Even Father's Day is just complementary to Father's Day. Father's Day, it was just founded in 1908. You know, after the very grave damage at West Virginia in a mine in 1907, December 6, 1907, and then Grace Clayton on July 5, 1908, you know, inaugurated this Father's Day just to commemorate, to honor over 200 fathers who died in the mine. This is the historiography about Father's Day, at least in American history. But for us, Krishna is the father, and there is no disaster that invoked his fatherhood. He's been the father since time immemorial. He's been the maintainer since time immemorial. And we simply need to become surrendered souls unto Krishna, and he will give us protection. Just like a child in the hands of the father may be stubborn to anybody, because the child knows, here is my dad. No one can actually injure the child. The behavior of the child is different when he's with the father and when the father is not there, because he knows the father is going to give him protection. Therefore, we have to understand that inasmuch as we are surrendered to Krishna, Krishna has mentioned, ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamiha. It's a question of reciprocity. As we are aligning with the rules, the injunctions, the love we have for the Father, we are reposing that love perfectly well, he comes with multiplicity of reciprocal relationships. So we are not losers. Hare Krishna. Are there some comments or some questions on this point? Yes.
I heard from someone that Bhaktisiddhanta, one of the reasons for taking sannyas, he said he obviously was qualified, but he didn't feel like he was qualified to go to his attendance. Like, I've heard a quote from him like, if I could produce Krishna conscious children, I would produce hundreds and hundreds of children. And then he said, but not to produce cats and dogs.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a nice point. He's mentioning that Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, if he'd like to be a householder if it is to procreate Krishna conscious children, that's no problem. But, you know, we have to see what is practical for us. It's not that everybody has to, you know, denounce his family. But of course, ISKCON has set up a good system now that you can't just emotionally abuse your wife and say, wait, I want to take sannyas, to hell with you. No, the wife will append her signature if you want to go and take sannyas. Wife will sign, yes, I've allowed, he has settled everything here at home, so he can go and preach. It's unlike before where people just, you know, emotionally abuse their family. The children suffer, the wife suffers. It's a different system now. So don't think you can just jump off the gun and then, you know, abandon the family. We have to be responsible. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we have to take care of our family as much as we are still in these bodies. So thank you very much, Prabhu. Any other comments? Some other hand there? Yes. Yeah.
So a poor man can take his family back home just as well as a rich man.
Sure.
Or a professional man. So you have to take that into account.
Yeah, that's a good point you raised. You see, we have to have our lives as open books of objectivity. And for instance, if I say, well, I'm a devotee of Krishna and I just have to depend on Krishna, I don't have any plans. I don't plan to wake up at 4 o'clock. If Krishna wishes, okay. But I don't have any plans to wake up at 4 o'clock for Mangarati. I have plans to wake up at 4 o'clock for Mangarati, therefore I set my alarm. I know that I should wake up at such and such a time, 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whatever. But suppose my body does not get up at that time, alarm should ring me up. That is called contingency planning. If we don't have contingency planning, the whole society will fall apart. Because if we ask someone, if we ask here, who is a manager? We have many hands. Because everyone is a manager to some degree. You're managing your life, you're managing your family, whatever. But if you ask, who is a leader? In fact, in schools of management, if you go and ask, who is a leader? Perhaps you will not see anybody's hand because they know what the difference between a manager and a leader. Therefore, if we don't have contingency plans, Prabhupada had contingency plans. Some of his disciples, he wooed them from the college. They were teaching or they were in college. He told them, stop it, just follow me. Some of them, a typical case is the case of Ridhananda Maharaj, case of Ravindra Swarup. Ravindra Swarup told us when we went for ISKCON Academy one time at 2005 or 2006 in New Vrindavan, how Prabhupada was so much pleased. At that time he was doing his PhD, he was so much pleased with his project that some of Prabhupada's godbrothers came to see him, and in the night someone came to wake Ravindra Swarup that Prabhupada is calling for you. You know, a devotee, you're sleeping at night, someone wakes you. Would you like it? No. He told us he didn't like it at all. Someone came to wake him up. But because he had Prabhupada, so he went. When he went to Prabhupada's sitting room, he was discussing with some people in Hindi. He paid obeisances. And you know what Prabhupada asked him? Ravindra, what is the title of your PhD thesis? So he told Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just told him, all right, you can go and sleep. That was it. He told him, all right, you can go and sleep. Because at that time, also, some of his godbrothers, instead of really appreciating what he had done by establishing Krishna consciousness in the whole world, they were not appreciative. Rather, they were saying, some of them were mentioning that, you just went to America to make some hippie devotees. So he wanted to tell them that, look, I have also PhDs. So the point is, I give you another gross example. I was in New Vrindavan recently, and one of the devotees complained bitterly to me. He said, these girls, young girls who are in the universities in West Virginia, they used to come to New Vrindavan. And young girls come, say for instance, 18 years, 19 years, 17 years old girl. They would not like to go to the elderly ladies. They want to, talk with the young girls. And each time these girls from the university, these young girls come and they encounter our devotees, he told me it was an eyesore. It was an eyesore. Very unpleasant development. Because they will worry, defeat our female devotees, their young devotees of their age, woefully. And so, the point is, if even we want to preach, we want to attract people, then we have to have some type of planning, strategic planning and contingency planning. What would we do to make our society grow, sustainable growth? You see, if the acharya is there, and it happens with any organization, if the founder is there, he has a type of energy and some type of empowerment that makes things happen. If it's not there, the followers have to figure out ways on how to sustain the proficiency of collective growth and establishments so that the society keeps growing in leaps and bounds. Therefore, it is important that we have to have some strategies in place. We have a big community here, and just like I was mentioning about what you've been doing here, the Haranam. I love it because in Africa, we used to go for Haranam practically every day when we joined in the 90s. We would go like in the late 80s and the 90s, and we'll go every day from morning till night. Not 2 hours, from morning till night, except on Saturdays and Sundays. And so it's a good thing you're doing, and I will encourage the young people, and the management should motivate the young people to join. Because people see young and old dancing and jubilating and, you know, chanting. No, they're stimulated. They want to find out what is making these people to be happy. We have to take drugs before we become happy. What is going on? Yeah. So the Haranam, and Prabhupada was able to garner so many people by his one-man squad Haranam. And so we should not think that there are more important things for us to do. We should collectively come together. This is a big community. If we hold just that service attitude alone of participating in Haranam, I tell you, a lot of people will benefit. Now, just see how many people benefited by the Ratha Yatra. People came, immediate results. Okay? So it is important for us to, each and every community is based on ethnographic arrangement. Different cultures, different situations, different communities. You know, they have different ways to be able to attract people to Krishna consciousness. So like you mentioned, yeah, that is his own way of making it and is yielding very positive results. We have to devise our own way, and I'm just advocating that because I have that type of mindset also that, you know, some of our devotees, they have good inclination in the beginning, good enthusiasm, and, you know, they become devotees, they become brahmacharis, and perhaps some of them we are asked to even give up their studies, and at some point in time they say they want to marry, and they don't have anything to rest on. And then they become very bitter. And so we should be pragmatic. A pragmatic basis is the fountainhead of a sustainable institution. That is why I was advocating that system. But, you know, people have different views. It's my own opinion. All right, so thank you very much. So in the absence of any other comments, we'd like to thank you again for coming to this Sunday Feast program, and we wish you, especially those who are not within this community, to keep coming to Alachua, New Remunerative, ISKCON community. Hare Krishna.